Blog Talk Radio.
Going on? It's not playing.
Hey everybody, it's 6:30. It's June 4th, 2015. We're back with another episode of Hank Solo Brothers. Got a free Thursday night episode for you tonight. And Mike should be online. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Pretty good. Calling in from New York today, huh?
I sure am, absolutely.
Cool. Let's talk a little Major League Baseball to start it off, Mike.
All right, good. It's good to be back with the show, too, by the way. We had a couple of weeks hiatus, but we're back and looking to chat about a little bit of sports.
Yeah, definitely. And the big thing in Major League Baseball right now, big headline here, A-Rod's cousin, let me see if I can get his name. I don't know his name, but the cousin of A-Rod busted for steroid distribution.
Well, yeah, he was the guy apparently that A-Rod was getting it from. But, you know, A-Rod comes back, and all the fans are rooting for him now, and old poor what's-his-name, his cousin, is going to prison.
Yeah, go in the cup.
Right.
Right, Mike?
Right.
And
well,
I
tell you what's a lot more interesting to me in baseball right now is the fact that Masahiro Tanaka came back yesterday and pitched an absolute gem. I don't know if you...
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Oh yeah, he made his first appearance in over a month, and he went 7 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, and 9 strikeouts, no walks.
Wow, let me pull the Yankees stuff up.
I'll tell you while you're doing that. His final pitch of the game, which was a strikeout, was 96 miles an hour.
Wow! So he didn't lose his stuff. Oh.
No, he had like his best game maybe in 2 years. So unless his arm fell off this morning that I didn't hear about, it's good to have him back.
And they're playing again tonight at 7 o'clock at Yankee Stadium against the Angels.
Well, I think that's tomorrow night, isn't it? I think they're off tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's tomorrow night. What was
right.
I saying? What about the Mets? They're playing the Diamondbacks tonight in Arizona.
Yeah, Matt Harvey's pitching tonight. But as far as the Yankees go, here we are. It's like June 4th, I guess, and they're in first place. And, you know, it's funny because the American League East is such a weird division, you know. I mean, the Red Sox, everybody thought they were going to be terrific, and Baltimore has been in the playoffs a couple of years in a row, and people thought they were going to be really good. But here they are. The Yankees are on top. And I'll tell you, a big reason is they've been able to stay kind of healthy, you know.
Kind of healthy. Problems with the
All right, but we
can't
keep switching to the Mets every 5 seconds. Let me just talk about
the Yankees. Yeah, okay. Yankees.
Oh, we're going to be done in 5 minutes here. Tanaka got hurt, and then they had some other guys that got hurt. Like Nova is hurt from last year. He's coming back pretty soon. But the key guy, I mean, and Ellsbury's out, and that hurts a lot because he was having the best year of anybody. But the guys like A-Rod and Beltran and Teixeira, guys who have had bad injury problems in the past, are all healthy, and they're all playing well. I mean, Teixeira's having an unbelievable year. He's got 17 home runs, and he leads the American League in RBIs. And A-Rod is having a huge bounce-back year. He's hitting about 280. He's got 11 homers and RBIs. And he's cooled off a little bit, but he's become a really positive influence in that locker room. And then Beltran, who started off really slowly, is getting hot. So it's they've been doing a good job.
Yeah, I see. The thing that worries me a little bit about the Yankees batting is they don't hit for average. They're 20th in batting average, .245.
That's true. But you know, like Ellsbury was hitting about .340 when he got hurt. So when he comes back, I think you can count on him hitting well. And really, batting average is not really the stat it used to be. They look at more at on-base percentage now and run production. So, I mean, They're second in the majors in home runs, and they have a really good plus minus differential in runs scored. They're driving in a lot of runs, and like a guy like A-Rod, who's hitting 270 something, he's got a really high on base percentage. He's getting a lot of walks, and Teixeira's hitting 230, but he's got 17 home runs and 40 something ribbies. So
17, I see 16 here.
Well, I don't know what you're looking at. Maybe he's at 16, but I thought he had 17. I thought he hit a 17th yesterday. But
16 home runs, 41 ribbies, 241 average.
All right, well, that must be what it is. But still, so, I mean, the leader in the league's probably got 19, so he's probably second in home runs, and I think he's first in RBIs. So
yeah,
he's having a heck of a year.
And Ellsbury has a 324 average. And Teixeira has 41 runs batted in. And now on the pitching side, Michael Pineda is the looks like the ace of the staff right now. He's got a 333 earned run average, 76 strikeouts, and 7 wins. And that's pretty good, man.
Yeah, well, he's been real good. He had a couple of bad starts that he gave up a lot of runs, but then the other ones, he's been dynamite. So 7 wins is great. And if Tanaka is healthy, watch out, because Tanaka is unbelievable when he's healthy. And they've also gotten some good starts out of, I just lost my train of thought. The starting pitching has been okay. CC's had some decent starts, even though his record is terrible. But their bullpen, the end of their bullpen, Andrew Miller and Dylan Betances has been unbelievable. I mean, Dylan Betances has pitched about probably 27, 28, 29 times already. He's got a zero ERA. He hasn't given up a run yet.
Yeah, I know. I have him on my fantasy team, and he's like the only pitcher that's doing anything for me.
and I was looking down over his stats recently, and I think 4 of his last 5 appearances, he struck out at least 3 batters. I mean, he only pitches like an inning, maybe an inning and a third every time. So he's been unbelievable. Miller has gotten himself in a couple of tight spots recently, but he gets out of it. Yeah, well, I mean, yesterday, Yanks had a 3-1 lead. They brought in Miller in the 8th inning with 1 out because they had a guy on base. And Batan says I was getting the day off, so Miller came in and like loaded the bases with 1 out. I hit a batter and walked a guy in 4 pitches, and you're like, oh no, this is the day he collapses. But then he struck out the next guy, and then he got a ground ball and got out of the inning, and then he got out of it the 9th. So
he
made it
down,
interesting.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He couldn't throw strikes. He was like 3 when the bases were loaded. He was 3-0 on the next guy that would have forced in like the second run, but he turned around and struck him out. So he's been fun to watch.
Cool. I wanted to say one more thing on the A-Rod thing. His cousin is going to serve 6 months of house arrest, and he may get deported.
Oh, well, the deporting part is what really sucks, because,
right?
Well, yeah, because house arrest, he's probably got a really nice house. Who cares? He's got to stay there for 6 months, A-Rod probably bought him a nice house and said,
don't say anything.
But the
don't say anything. I'll buy you a nice house.
Yeah, right. All of a sudden, they send him back to wherever he's from. That's not too good. Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic or something like that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too much fun.
And here's your standings in the American League, Mike. Yeah, the Yankees are leading the AL East by 1 game over Tampa. Kansas City and Minnesota are tied in the AL Central. Detroit 4.5 games back. Here's my surprise pick of the year, though. Houston Astros.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
5.5 games in front of the Angels.
Yeah, that's quite a story because they lost 100 games a bunch of years in a row. And they're full of young players on that team. And they're really playing well. They hit a lot of home runs. They have a good there's some good young pitchers. They've been a real surprise, no doubt.
Yeah, and in the National League, Washington's leading the NL East, but guess who's half a game behind, right on their tail, the Mets.
I know. The Mets have, like, so many little problems, but the one thing they have is a great pitching staff, a great starting pitching staff. Their bullpen's pretty cheesy, but they're going to a 6-man rotation now, which won't last. They say they're doing that.
Only the Mets would do that.
I know, it's so lame. They should have tried to protect their starters, but really what it is they have extra. They have a lot of starting pitchers, and they ought to trade one of them. You know, maybe even two of them, because they have Dylan G and Jonathan Neese. They could get rid of those guys in a heartbeat and get something for them. I mean, pitchers are hard to come by, and Neese is a lefty. You could get somebody that will help your team with Neese, no doubt about it.
Other teams looking good. The Cardinals, St. Louis. They're six in the lead in the NL Central over Pittsburgh, and the Dodgers are two in the lead over the San Francisco Giants in the NL West. And just to expand on this Mets thing, Mike, you know, the other day they traded one of their outfielders, Kirk Neuenhuis, like a really good young outfielder, to the Angels, but they only got cash considerations for him.
Well, what they did was they designated him for assignment, which means they basically cut him. And then somebody can claim him, and then they make a deal. That's very typical. He wasn't much, dude. He wasn't much of a player. He was hitting like 100.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he was not. They cut him, basically. But before they can release him outright, other teams have a chance
to
claim him.
There's a good young player for you.
Yeah, right. Here's your great young player. He's batting 100. You know, come and take him.
Yeah, so strike three.
Yeah, right. That's his nickname, strike three.
And the NBA, let's go to a little bit about the NBA, Mike.
Sure, NBA Finals start tonight. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Who you got, Cavs or Warriors?
Well, you know, I think my head tells me the Warriors are going to win. I think they have a better team, first of all. I think they're healthy. Although, you know, both the two shooters, you know, Curry and what the hell's the other guy's name? Thompson. Both landed on their head recently. You know, Thompson is it Thompson? Yeah. He just came back from a concussion, and Curry, like, you know, in the last round of the playoffs, landed on his head. But, you know, otherwise they're all healthy, and the Cavaliers are really banged up. You know, they lost Kevin Love. Kyrie Irving's banged up, and I don't think they were as talented to begin with as Golden State. So the best player is on Cleveland, but like the next four or five best players are all on Golden State. So I think Golden State's going to probably win.
I would agree with that.
Oh, no. Don't agree
oh,
with
no.
me.
Oh, no. Kiss of you, death.
You are the kiss of death. Oh, my God.
But,
well, here's the thing.
I'd like
here's
to see the
thing. I would like to see the Cavs win because, you know, I mean, think about it. I mean, they've been so bad for so long. And then, you know, LeBron James, you know, he got them to the finals when he was playing for them before, but they got smoked. And then he left, and they probably thought that they were going to suck forever. And then he came back. And, you know, he's a hometown kid. He's got them in the NBA finals, and they're all banged up. Nobody thinks they're going to win. If he somehow won for that team, you know, it would be unbelievable. It would really be unbelievable.
Yeah,
because they're not as good. They're not as good. You know, for them to win, they would have to like get something superhuman out of him, and that's always fun to watch. You know,
Cleveland doesn't have really many good sports teams. I mean, who do you have? The Browns, the Indians, and Cavs.
And they all suck. Well, I mean, think about it. Last year, the Cavs had the first pick in the draft. I mean, they were in the lottery, and they had the first pick in the draft. And this year, they're in the NBA Finals. Yeah, they picked Allen Wiggins. Uh-huh. They picked Allen Wiggins, and they traded him for Kevin Love, who's been out of the playoffs since the first round. You know,
what an unbelievable comeback! Yeah,
I mean, yeah, what a bounce back. So that would be a feel good story, but you know what? I mean, LeBron has lost before in the finals, so it's not like
He's worst to worst.
Yeah, and it's not like I can't imagine him losing because he's such a noted champion. I mean, I never could have imagined Michael Jordan losing in the finals because he just never did. And it would have been hard to imagine Montana losing or guys like that. But you know what? LeBron lost last year, and he lost with Cleveland before that, and he lost another one with Miami, too, his first year there. So, He tends to carry teams that aren't nearly as good. He's sort of like a John Elway. You know, remember John Elway like when he was
John Elway, and close but never quite got it.
Well,
he did win it a few times at the end, but for most of his career, he was like close but no cigar.
Well, they were saying, you can't win with Elway. It's like that was total crap because, I mean, the thing was, Elway was the only good part of those teams. And he was carrying, like, inferior teams to the Super Bowl, and then they would just get beat up. But when he finally got older and they had a good team around him, he won twice in a row. And that was pretty great. And I think LeBron is sort of like that. He's so good that he can bring an average team to the championship. But once you get to the finals, it's really hard to win if you're the inferior team. So
very
we'll
hard,
see.
Yeah.
I hope they win. That would be nice. But I like Curry.
That would be nice.
Golden State's very likable. You know, that Curry is, like, really good. And he's fun to root for because he's, like, just really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And here's a headline for you. The Miami Heat, they want Dwayne Wade to opt in so that they can go after Kevin Durant.
Well, I wonder why.
Think that's going to happen?
Why, is he big friends with Kevin Durant or something?
Well, they're trying to work out Wade's contract, and they want him to do something, I think opt in or opt out or whatever. I don't even know what
they're
talking about here.
They want him to hurry up and make his decision so they know what they're dealing with money-wise, probably something like that.
Yeah, and they might go after Kevin Durant of the Thunder.
Well, they should. If he's available, I mean, if they can get him, get him. I mean, yeah, Kevin Durant's unbelievable, but, you know, they were just talking about, like, you know, LeBron's first title. They beat Oklahoma City when they had Durant, Westbrook, and James Harden. And I forgot about that, you know. Talk about, like, you know, a team that was loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Heat were loaded, and then they lost everybody, and now they didn't make the playoffs, but maybe.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, hey, you have to there is always like a little blip on the screen when a team readjusts, you know. I think that Riley's really smart, and Miami's an attractive place to play because it's a great city. I mean, if you're young and rich, you know, why wouldn't you want to be in Miami? But, we'll see.
I mean,
I'm sure
it's South Beach, yeah, baby.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and I'm sure that they're going to get some good players that want to come there. And really, next year is going to be the big, not this coming year, but the year after is going to be the big free agent year because the salary cap's going to go up big time for every team. And a lot of people are trying to position themselves so that they do all their big spending next free agent season. So, but, you know, you still got to do business this year, so we'll see what they come up with.
Right. And I think I'm going to do a little music and then come right back, Mike, in about 3.5 minutes.
Okay, good.
That's cool with you. All right, Here's Warren Zevon.
boy and a gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Ow, werewolves of London. Saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic. And his hair was purple.
Back. Mike, how'd you like that?
Yeah, this song always reminds me of the movie Color of Money.
It does?
Yeah, that was
how so?
A big part of that. Well, that was in the soundtrack of that movie, and that was a great film. So.
Oh, cool, man. So let's spend our last 8 minutes or so talking a little hockey, man, and a little horse racing.
Okay, all right.
Blackhawks and Lightning, Stanley Cup Final, man. Blackhawks lead it 1-0. Who you got?
Well, now that the Blackhawks lead 1-0, I'm picking the Blackhawks. But, you know, it was sort of a toss-up for me. I don't see the Blackhawks much, and I just seen Tampa, you know, beat the Rangers. So it was hard for me to imagine Tampa losing because they showed you so many different, like, skills. I mean, they could score fast and furious, and they could play a really good defensive game. I thought to myself, wow, they seem to be able to beat you a lot of different ways. But then the Blackhawks, you know, they've won two of the last four championships. They got a lot of great leadership and some of the best players in the world on that team.
Yeah, I'm picking the Hawks, but of course you would take hits of death.
Well, yeah, but it's also easier to make a pick when they're already up one game and nothing. You know, Tampa was winning that game in the third period, 1-0. All of a sudden, the Hawks scored twice in less than 2 minutes to win it. So, I'll tell you what. You know, watching that Rangers game, that series, they had the Rangers. They shut out the Rangers in Game Five, and it looked like Kurt and the Rangers had a big Game Six where they won 7-3. And it was funny because I remember watching that, going like, I don't necessarily believe this score yet because I had seen them get shut out. And I really thought that Tampa was going to beat them in Game 7 because when you see a defense play the way they did against the Rangers in Game 5, I said, they figured out how to play that game now. And they can pull it out if they need to. And they did. They played Game 7 the exact same way as they played Game 5, where the Rangers never even got a good chance. They never even got a good opportunity. So.
Yeah. So I am picking the Blackhawks, but again, kiss of death.
All right. Do you have the schedule in front of you?
I do not, but they're playing tonight, I think.
Because they just played yesterday. I'd be surprised.
Oh, no, tonight. Game 2 is Saturday. Here's the schedule. Let me bring it up.
Okay. All right.
And my friend is actually from Chicago, Mitch, my friend Mitch. So I'm kind of rooting for him.
Well, I'm rooting for Chicago because I've been to both cities, too, and Chicago's the coolest, one of the coolest cities on the planet. So, and Tampa's nice, but, you know, Chicago's awesome. And so that's reason enough for me to want them to win, I guess.
Game 2 is tomorrow night in Tampa, 7:15 on NBC. And Game 3 is Monday, June 8th, 8 p.m. in Chicago on NBC Sports Network.
Nice.
And just a quick headline for you from the world of the NHL, Mike. The Penguins might be the guys that own the Penguins, Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle. What a name.
Burkle.
they might be selling the team.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah,
I got about $50 in my pocket. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it, too. Moving to Hartford.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that's happening.
No, I don't think so.
Looks like they just hired the financial services firm Morgan Stanley to oversee a review of their strategic options.
Oh, well, maybe they're, yeah. Well, that sounds like they're making a move then.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I don't care about that.
Okay, I'm going right on to the horse racing then, man. And the question is, can American Pharoah win the Triple Crown on Saturday at the Belmont? And a computer simulation says, yes.
Well, you would certainly have to say it's likely because it's won the two big races leading up to it. But, you know, a lot of horses have won the first two, and everybody said, well, they're going to win.
It's the graveyard of champions, they say.
Yeah, right. Well, it's the longest race of the three, and there's no other race. It's a mile and a half. So it's like, there's really nothing to – I mean, they're like short race. There are horses that are good in short races, and there are horses that are good in mud and good in rain. You don't really know what horse is good in a mile and a half until you see them and do it. And that's the only race of that length. So
here's the notes on the race. The computer analysis says the only legitimate contenders are Made from Lucky, Frosted, and Materiality. And American Pharoah is the clear favorite, just over 50% likely to win. And the other horses are projected to be at least 6 lengths off the lead. Based on current betting odds, Made from Lucky is the only horse with decent win bet value.
Oh, well.
And they continue, with a smaller field and only half of that field competitive, we do not expect quite the excitement of recent years down the stretch, but that is actually good for a chance at the Triple Crown. And American Pharoah is the favorite at 3-5.
Yeah. Well, what about that horse the last time? There was a horse either last year or the year before that was going with Triple Crown, and it finished, like, last. So
I know.
So,
it kind of pulled a flame or something.
Yeah, or whatever it was. But, I mean, you know, I don't put much stock in computer simulations. Those are for, like, the computer geeks. You know, it doesn't tell me anything.
Like me.
Yeah, like you. Yeah. Like they say, you got to play the game on paper. I mean, you don't play the game on paper. You got to play it on the field. So we'll see. I mean, but you know what? I'm old enough to remember the last two or three. I remember Secretariat. I remember Seattle Slough. I remember Affirmed and Aladar, you know. So it would be pretty cool to see another one.
Aladar did not win the Triple Crown.
I know. Affirmed beat it in all three races. So.
Yeah. Okay.
But Aladar was considered the much better horse going in. Aladar was considered like the big horse of the decade or horse of the century. And Affirmed was considered sort of like a real blue-collar, you know, cheap horse, and Affirmed, you know, won each race, and each race was closer, and in the Belmont, it won literally by a nose, and it was like a photo finish, and so it was really thrilling, because there were 1-2 in all three races. It was great, but, I still remember Secretariat watching it in the den with Mom, and I don't think Dad was there, but watching that horse win by, like, 31 lengths, it was unbelievable, and sometimes I YouTube that just for fun, and it's, like, so thrilling because to see, like, someone dominate, like, I mean, it's a horse, so it's not like, it's an athlete, but it's a horse athlete.
I hate to cut you off, but we only have 45 seconds left.
Okay, well, do what you got to do then.
All right, and I was just going to mention the Triple Crown winners in history. 1919, Sir Barton. 1930, Gallant Fox. Number 1935, Omaha. 1937, War Admiral. 1941, Whirl Away. 1943, Count Fleet. 1946, Assault. And 1948, Citation. Then we had a little drought there until 1973. Secretariat won it. 1977, Seattle Slew. And 1978, Affirmed.
Yeah, look at that. There were two periods where there were a lot of them, and then 25-year break, and now, like, a 40-something year break. So, yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Were you going to say something just to end the show, Mike?
No, I don't think so.
All right, then I'll hit my outro music.
All right, pal.
If it'll even play.
There we go.
Mike, thanks for coming up. We'll do it again next week, baby.
Okay.
And this has been Hanging with the Vocal Brothers. See you later.